The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, and welcome back. I think most of you realize that the general idea of... All right, let me just rephrase that. Who's behind most of the headlines at the top of the news? What little nation, that brave little democracy in the Middle East, is linked to, behind, or intrinsically involved with almost every major headline today? Israel. You need to understand that this is a Zionist move to completely overthrow what's remaining of an independent, free-thinking, white, Western, Christian world. No question. The camel today didn't choose Josh Shapiro, as many thought. The IDF volunteer Josh Shapiro, and meanwhile the communocrats on the left, the Democrat Zionists, are saying that any criticism of Josh Shapiro is anti-Semitism. It's the same old crap. They got the same playbook. You'd think that they'd write up some new angles to pursue, but they don't. It's all about war. Next hour, we'll be talking to Hal Turner. He is a man of interesting sources, and his sources tell him that the war on Iran, and therefore on Iran and Russia, by the U.S. and Israel, will begin tomorrow. We'll have more on that in an hour. Name the story, and there are always, almost always, invariably, Zionist Jewish power brokers involved. I don't know how more clear it can get, and we all know that the camel's husband is, in all likelihood, Mossad. He's certainly a dual citizen Israeli, and if you're a dual citizen Israeli, you're in that position, married to the VP. You're probably Mossad. Big surprise, huh? Jeffrey Epstein, you get it. So they're everywhere. And I'll tell you, this isn't new. Go back to the FDR administration and before that, and there were Zionists, Jews, everywhere. Everywhere in this government. FDR was surrounded by them. So it's the same group of people. They're not all in that group, but most of them are, at least sympathetically. And if the bell rings, 95% are going to answer. So we'll see. Is it tomorrow or is it next week? I don't know. I can't tell you. But I do know that as I look at all of these headlines and look behind them, I see the same people pulling strings. Always. It just never stops. All right. A man who has given a lifetime of education to those who really care to hear about reality, the real reality, not the reality that the screen gives you when you stare at it all day long. And we know who owns the screen, It's the same people. The real reality is quite simple. And David Duke has been bringing it to all of us for, Helen, nearly a half a century, if not. David, yeah. Are you there?
I'm here, and I've been here since knowing about this issue and speaking about it almost every day of my life at school, church, everywhere, since literally I was 13, 14 years old. And that's caused me a lot of trouble, but it's also caused me an incredible journey of education and truth. And it's, I think, helped the world. My book, Jewish Supremacism, the title of my book is now being used by mainstream Jewish civil rights groups in Israel. They're calling it Jewish Supremacism, Beth Salam, which is their biggest human rights group.
So they're openly reveling in it now. They're just praising it. Jewish supremacism is the way to go.
Well, they're calling it that, but there's also criticism, and that's the good thing. But the shocking thing is that the level, and I wrote about this in Jewish Supremacism. I know you've read my book, and many of your listeners have. Jewish Supremacism, My Awakening, The Secret Behind Communism, and these other books that I've written, and articles over the years, thousands of articles. It's showed clearly and truly that the Jews have, quote, taken over America. That America is, it's like the methodic Jewish golem in Jewish history and literature. They have these stories about this rabbi in Eastern Europe that created this golem, this monster. And the monster was meant to fight the goyim. And that's what this whole war against Russia is about, Christian Russia. And those Christian Zionists who are too damn stupid and too damn corrupted by the same Jewish media that they hate for every reasonable reason. For instance, the transgenderism and the depravity of the media is legion. Yet they're defending the Jewish establishment and saying somehow this is on the side of God. It's not on the side of God to support
the
aliens.
Not the one I know. No.
Yeah, I mean, they're sick. But their sickness has been created by their power. The reason why Christian Zionism went forward in America was because we had something called cable television arose, and that gave these Christian preachers the opportunity to speak to the country. But they were disciplined, they were corrected, they were controlled by those who gave them access to those cable operations. And the people who gave them access were Jews, and they demanded that they take the pro-Zionist and the pro-Jewish line. And they did that. And they take a prophecy that's in Revelation about the Antichrist coming to power and killing billions and billions of people. They take that prophecy and turn it into the point, well, we got to support the Antichrist. You can't make this crap up. You can't make up this stupidity and insanity. But you have the power of media, you can do it. Now, why would a Christian support and root for the Antichrist? Send money to the Antichrist. Send money to the place that they're going to rebuild the temple where the Antichrist is going to rule the world and rape literally billions, and we're talking about billions, of non-Jews. Christians, Muslims, different believers, different religions all over the world. That's what is prophesied. But remember that prophecies, the right way I think that a Christian should look at those kinds of things like prophecies, are a way of warning. Because the Jesus Christ that most Christians believe in is a God of forgiveness. He died. He made the sacrifice. He sacrificed his life for our sins, for whatever we've done. And his grace is available to anybody on earth that's willing to accept his grace and his Christian truth. Like he says in John 8, in that chapter, which is great, you know the truth and the truth will make you free.
Yeah,
he also said another line when he's talking to the Jewish elite at the time. And he said to these Pharisees, which, by the way, the same ones who wrote the Talmud, and it was the oral tradition that Jesus railed against, a vicious anti-Gentile, anti-Christian document, if ever. In fact, the Talmud literally says Jewish magicians, because they're full of sorcery in this Jewish religion. The Jewish religion is not what you think of as the Torah. The Jewish religion is a Talmud, and it's corrupt. But Jesus is talking to Pharisees, the same ones, basically, the same Pharisees that crucified him, and hated him. And in the Talmud, it says basically that the Jews, not even the Romans did it, but the Jews did it. And that's what they want to claim, because they hated Jesus so much. And they say that they brought him back to life in their underworld so they could torture him forever and ever and ever by burning him and boiling excrement, torturing Jesus Christ, the teacher of love and justice. And that's why they hated Jesus, because he taught love and justice for all people, not just for Jews, not just for anybody, but for all people. And that's not what the Jews wanted. The Jews wanted supremacy. And so the truth is that Jesus, in that same chapter where we had the most famous line on freedom of speech in the Christian faith, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And, of course, that's not possible without freedom of speech. Because, and the reason why we have these problems in the world, these wars like the First World War and the Second World War and the Iraq War, all based on lies. And the war in Ukraine, which is slaughtering hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians, and it's in the same country where they slaughtered 7 to 10 million Ukrainian Christians by the Jewish Bolsheviks. It's the same Europe where 70 million people died in an unnecessary war, the Second World War, which could have been avoided. It was a war fought over this little aspect of a couple of cities, which were all German, a few cities and a few, small bits of areas like Silesia, that where the Germans were the vast majority, and they were being punished by the Versailles Treaty. And the reason why
the Versailles Treaty stole part of Germany and gave it to the Poland's border, the Poland border right around it.
And the thing we got to remember, and that also gave reparations. Now, almost all historians understand that in the First World War, in fact, major historians at almost every university, and I've talked to many historians around the world about this, they all pretty much agree that Germany can bear no special guilt for the First World War, and it was entangling alliances and so forth. And it was about the right of the German people who were stolen from their own country, basically kidnapped by another country by way of the Versailles Treaty. And by the way, they also put these harmful reparations on Germany. Germany was already broke. Germany was in horrible straits. People were starving in the streets.
Let me say one thing. That treaty, and if any of you are really interested, go read about the Versailles Treaty, V-E-R-S-A-I-L-L-E-S, Versailles, it's a French word, Treaty of Versailles, and what it did to Germany, the incredible punishment and horrors that were visited and laid on Germany after World War I. You won't believe it. It's that bad.
And I'll tell you, and again, understanding Jewish power, this doesn't mean every Jew is evil, but the Jewish establishment is. And the interesting thing is, and Israel, and I've got a little tape I could even play. It's only a couple of minutes. It's just of Norman Finkelstein. I would love to have you have Norman Finkelstein on your program one day if you ever get a chance to do it. He wrote The Holocaust Industry.
I invited him on many years ago. He's very busy, but yeah, he's always welcome here.
He's great. But anyway, he talks about Jewish supremacy. He's using my words now. He's using Jewish supremacism. And he talks about this country has gone maniac. And in my book, Jewish Supremacism, as you can remember, I said, you know, as they've gotten more power, they've been reduced from the, you know, these small, you know, shadow kingdoms and shadows and so forth in Eastern Europe to the point they have enormous power now. And you're going to really see Jewish power for what it really represents. And when they represent the Jewish state, which Jewish historians said they're going to show the full bloom and power and the greatness of the Jewish people, what is the Jewish state of Israel proven? It's proven that Jews are the most ultimate racist, supremacists, and murderers the world's ever seen. But it's not like that started with Israel and the 200,000, and it's 200,000 minimum that have died, because there's been a very good study in the Lancet, one of the leading medical journals in the world.
In Gaza.
And
I've been saying that for a couple of months now. It's 200,000 or more.
Maybe more. And that, if 200,000 are dead, by the way, that means another three times that, four times that, are wounded and maimed. And so of the... Of those, of that 200,000 or the 180, the actual paper said 179,000 to 189,000, you know, conservatively have died. And about 40% of those are children. So that's a lot.
40%. Look, they take special delight in shooting children through the head. These brave Israeli soldiers.
And the crimes of Israel are out in the open today, and they're so incredibly evil. You couldn't even make it up if you wanted to write. I mean, the Hollywood movies were terrible about making up all this stuff about the Nazis. In fact, Finkelstein himself, in his book, which is very worthy to get, it's called The Holocaust Industry, and he points out the whole shakedown of Switzerland, which is a big lie, billions of dollars, which didn't even go to any so-called Holocaust survivors. Now, of course, everybody's a Holocaust survivor, whether they're in a concentration camp or not. That's one of the things that Finkelstein talks about a lot, is parents both were in concentration camps. In a sense, they were Holocaust survivors, that they survived that period where many people died. Whatever they died from, whether it be disease, whether it be being killed, whether it be being oppressed, and everybody opposes any sort of atrocity, any sort of oppression of human rights, any sort of mass murder of anybody. But the world champions of mass murder historically, and this is amazing, especially in the last 150 years since we've had the rise of Jewish banking power in the Rothschilds and many others, the rise of Jewish media, the rise of Jewish takeover. You know, 90% of the contributors of Hillary Clinton were Jews. 8 or 9 of the biggest contributors to Biden were Jews. The 3 biggest single billionaire contributors to Donald Trump, including the Adelsons, were Jews. And this is only 2% of the population in the United States. I've been talking about AIPAC for years. You've been talking about AIPAC for years. And now, finally, the whole world is beginning to know that America is a controlled nation. Even David Brooks in the New York Times wrote a story, and he was kind of positive, but he was boasting about Jewish power. And he's talking about the takeover of the American elite. And the article was called The Chosen Getting In, and how the Jews have taken over the Ivy League. And it's basically through racism and ethnocentrism that they did this. They supported their own professors. In fact, Finkelstein, in the thing that I listened to, the name of
David, they always support their own, no matter what discipline it's in. It doesn't matter.
They've done this by discrimination against everybody else.
Reverse discrimination. You bet.
That's what they got to understand. I mean, like, for instance, the Jews are always bellyaching how they were so discriminated against because their quota at Harvard.
Well, the ultimate victimhood. That's the game they play.
Their quota at the least leading schools of America were 15%. Oh, that's discrimination. Yeah. That's repression. Uh-huh. Well, the Jews were only 2 to 3% anyway. So that's 5 times overrepresentation, and out of 2% of the population, and white people are pretty smart people. I mean, we went to the moon. We did so many fantastic, magnificent things in law, literature, architecture, music. Look at the Greek philosophy and the Roman philosophy. Look at the Christendom was overwhelmingly European. And that's not saying that other people weren't Christians as well, but European Christian, if you think Christianity is a good thing, man, the European people embraced Christianity and embraced the principles of Christianity. Jews have been warmongers for years. They were the biggest leaders of the slave trade. They were the biggest leaders in the last 40, 50 years. Yeah, exactly. They actually did. And if you read the Encyclopedia Britannica, Jacob Marcus, a leading American Jewish historian, he wrote a big article in there. And he said, in the Middle Ages, the Jews controlled the economy, much of the economy of Europe, especially the slave trade. And Jewish historians in America and elsewhere wrote about the Triangular slave trade, which was some huge slave trade from Africans to America. And it was completely run by the Levies and these other Jews. And the biggest areas of the slave trade are the people who owned the ships that did this Triangular slave, which caused 1 million blacks to die, by the way, in this long passage of terrible conditions. And it's a terrible thing. Those blacks shouldn't have suffered that. In fact, the slave trade itself was far more murderous of blacks than any slavery. Blacks thrived, even though I'm not in favor of slavery against anyone. But compared to the slavery that existed in Africa from the beginning of time, they thrived under the slavery of America compared to what happened in Africa. But the slavery that they existed under, the deaths of the passage, and these were all Jews. That they weren't worried about human life; they were worried about making bucks. The entire history of organized prostitution and human trafficking has had a Jewish stamp on it. There's a great article in the New York Times by Mr. Spector talking about how slave traders lure Slavic women. And how, and this is in this article, this is the New York Times and the New York Times News Service, how this hundreds of millions, if you know, tens of millions minimum, but hundreds of millions more likely, of people all across the European world, especially since the Second World War, have been lured into slavery. They were doing ads in Ukraine and in Russia, and these very poor people who suffered after the fall of the Soviet Union. And they said, we can give you jobs and everything in the West. It was all run by these Jewish gangsters like Mogilevich, who was Ukrainian, but he wasn't Ukrainian. He was a Jew Ukrainian, just like Zelensky is a Jew. And by the way, Jeffrey Sachs, and he's doing so many good things. He sounds like me today. And he did a big article on his website saying the same people who gave us the Iraq War based on lies, you know, these neocons, are the same people that did the Ukraine War, which has now caused the death of 500,000 Ukrainians needlessly.
I think it's over a million altogether.
Yeah, it may
be. That's my take.
Yeah. It's horrific, right? And it's like...
It's a white holocaust. White Christian Goyim holocaust.
It's mass murder. I mean,
the entire Ukrainian government is essentially all Zionist.
It's like the government of Israel. I mean, it was the first country in Europe, I think, that actually had a Jewish president and a Jewish prime minister at the same time. And the Jews didn't fight that war. They left the country. They went to five. I've got articles in the Jewish Telegraph about how Jews are in 5-star hotels. They didn't fight. They left the country. It's the goyim. It's the Christians that are being mass murdered, and this is unnecessary. And the funny thing is that people don't know this, because we have a Jewish controlled media. But the truth is that Jews hate what's called the Cossacks. The Cossacks were a very famous fighting people who defended the Slavs, for instance, against the Asian invasions. And you had the invasions, of course, the Golden Horde, and you had Genghis Khan, and you had so many others. And the famous, and also the Cossacks defended people against the Eastern European Jews, and which became what's called the Ashkenazi Jews, which actually, by the way, I do believe this is an area of controversy, but there's a lot of evidence, I think, you know, the language of the Eastern European Jews are Yiddish. Yiddish from the very beginning, and the oldest Ashkenazi settlements in the world are not in Russia, are not in Turkey. The oldest Ashkenazi settlements are actually in northern Germany and the Rhineland, like Erfurt, where we have Jewish cemeteries where you can still trace the blood.
Right.
And they
right.
spoke Yiddish, which was 75% German. It wasn't 75% Turkish and 25% Hebrew. It was actually German, because there was some mixture there. And these were Jews, these were Sephardic Jews in Italy that moved up north, and then they went to these. Now, this is a controversial opinion, but I believe that these Jews, who they call Ashkenazi Jews, they definitely have a relation with others, because genetic tests prove it, that they share so many of the same diseases. Every Jew in the world, whether they're Ashkenazi or Sephardic or Mezari, what they call the divisions of them, they're like fifth cousins to one another, and they do support each other. Now, the head rabbi of Israel is what they call the Sephardic rabbi, yet he's the most radical anti-white guy you can imagine, who actually has supported the whole Jewish structure of the state and Jewish supremacism. And his name was Joseph. He said the only purpose of Gentiles on earth was to serve Jews. He wasn't even an Ashkenazi Jew. But when the Talmud was written, this is where it all goes back to, that was written in the 4th, 5th century. It wasn't written by Khazarians. It was written by the same Jews that the New Testament warns us about in half the pages, according to the Jerusalem Post, according to Rabbi Smotich, the guy, Botich, I guess his name is, who, by the way, a rabbi whose family runs dildo stores and porn stores, right? This is rabbis. And
well, they created the whole porn. Don't forget who created the porn industry.
Exactly. Of course. Who's created all this stuff? Who's the Sackler family? Who did the opium wars where they corrupted the king and queen of England? I've heard, you recently listened to a lot of stuff by Lyndon LaRouche, right? and people were talking about the corruption.
I had Lynn on the program many times, even his wife. Yeah. I had her on, Helga.
And we were always talking about, you know, how this was a conspiracy. No, the conspiracy were Jews who corrupted the kings and queens of England. That was it. And the Sassans, they bribed them because they were in the most lucrative business in the world, which has been that way for hundreds of years, and that was the dope trade, the slave trade. And those were lucrative industries. And we literally, they got Britain to fight three wars, sending British people into battle against the Chinese and to suppress the Chinese to support the Sassoons. You can look it up in the Wikipedia, folks. Just do some research. The Sassoons, in getting millions of Chinese hooked on dope and destroying their lives and making billions of equivalent dollars today in today's money. And then we have the Sacklers that promoted the whole epidemic of dope in this country. There's so many of these evils that have been going. That doesn't mean every Jew is evil. But if you really look at the two greatest mass murdering incidents, it's not just the First and Second World War, but it's also all the wars since. These wars have been Jewish wars for Jewish causes. And if we're not for Jewish power, we wouldn't have a First World War. We wouldn't have 37 to 40 million die. No, we wouldn't have a Second World War. I'll give an example. We've talked about this before, and I want everybody to get tired of me talking about this, because then you're going to remember it, and maybe you can share with your friends and you can realize the importance of this, okay? So right before the Second World War, before there was any allegation of any Holocaust, they even argued that the Holocaust did not even start until 41, 42 during the war. That's what their arguments are. But long before that, in 1939, it was written, 1940, there was a Jew by the name of Theodor Kaufmann and very powerful Jewish sources that wrote a book called Germany Must Perish. And on the cover, it shows a swastika, and it says, the book that Hitler fears. And it goes on to say, in the first paragraph, Jeff, and everybody listening, I want you to understand these words. It says, this book has a comprehensive program, supports a comprehensive program of the destruction of the German nation, the division of the German nation, reapportionment of its lands, and the eradication of the German people from the earth, literally proposing the genocide of 80 million Germans. Now this isn't a book, and you can say, well, anybody can write crazy things, right? But this book, called Germany Must Perish, that proposed the eradication of the German people before the war, and there was no Holocaust then. And by the way, the same Jews that hated Germany supported the Soviet Union. They already killed 30 million Christians in Russia, for God's sakes. So this book, you know, it calls for the direct murder of Germans. It was advertised in the New York Times. It was advertised in one of the biggest papers in American edition of the New York Times was the Washington Post, which was bought from the McCormicks by Eugene Mayer, a Jew, and help turn it into a anti-intervention newspaper, into a war paper to get us into the Second World War. Now, both these publications, in fact, the biggest publications in America, Great Britain, France, and around the world, sold this book, promoted this book. The New York Times called it a great plan for humanity. It's a book that time has come. Yeah, eradicate all the German people. And then these people dare to talk about so-called, you know, German perfidy or German hatred or anti-Semitism. How about anti-Gentilism? How about anti-Russianism? I don't think, are the Russians competing in the Olympics this year?
I don't know. They're out.
They're out. So all the
we
Russians
all should be out. The Olympics should be given the Bud Light treatment.
Look at the opening ceremony. It's control. Yeah. And by the way, it was all run by Jews, and it was all vicious and vile against the family.
Course.
And it even transformed the Lord's Supper into a transgender,
the Last Supper,
transvestite.
Yeah. It was hideous.
I mean, hideous. Horrible. But listen now. There's hundreds of millions of people of Russian descent in the world. Russia's been a very powerful country, a Christian country for hundreds of years. The Russian Orthodox Church has been a great force, both the Eastern Orthodoxy, the Russians, and the Catholic Church. They used to be very similar, right? But the Russian Orthodoxy has really actually stayed more to the core of traditional Judaism, unfortunately, than some of the Catholics. However, there are good Catholics, too, that are trying to restore the Catholic Church to their original values. Go read the writings of the early popes about the threat of Jewish racism and Jewish hatred for humanity. And this race, this hatred, is something that's real, folks. That all the goyim are anti-Semites. All the goyims are equal to Nazis. And but anyway, let's talk about this book for a second. So this book is praised by the New York Times. And this is the same New York Times that covered up the murder of 7 million to 10 million in Ukraine, which is now called the Holodomor. Now, people don't know this. I'm an historian. I know this. But most historians don't even know this. But in 2003, the United Nations had a big meeting. They called from 24 different nations with representatives, historical representatives, to study the Holodomor. And this was the purposeful starvation that killed, actually, 7 to 10 million. I think it's more like 11, 12 million. I studied it when I was in Ukraine doing my doctorate in Kyiv. And that's another good example. Even though I've been to Kyiv and I've been to Syria, you know, I've been to the Holy Land, you know, what was the Holy Land, now it's the Unholy Land. But, I've been to the European historical things. I've met with many of the leading people of the world. I've been to Iran. I can talk authoritatively on this, firsthand knowledge. I'm totally silenced. I was number one on the hit list for the ADL. And that's why they hate me, but they would hate anyone. It's really amazing, though, that the world now is starting to adopt what I believe and what you believe, Jeff, and what you've been talking about over the years.
You know what I think is happening.
I've been more singly focused on this problem. You've had to go with a whole bunch of things,
Your name is one of the most, probably the top three or four most recognized names in the world. That's true.
At one time it was on the list of 100 most known people.
Oh, easy. People. Yeah. But, in geopolitics like this,
But that's a good example.
You know what I think, David? Let me put my two cents in here. Right. I think that the international Jewish supremacist movement is so confident now that they have taken over, co-opted, and put their boot on the necks of the goyim of this planet. They don't care if people find out about the truth of what they have done in the past, about the truth of their overwhelming control now of this country's government, its money, its entertainment, its education. They don't care. So go ahead. So what if you know it? What are you going to do about it? In other words, I think they've gotten that far down the road. And then to that the fact that they're behind 100% the COVID bioweapon injections and the COVID bioweapon virus.
Well,
you look at the names, it's all there.
and the Jewish media and the six leading media corporations on earth, which got billions of dollars.
That's right.
From the whole Jewish industry, because that's what Jews do. They work together as a team. The word ethnocentrism.
Oh, they're very smart.
But you know what? It's people often say that. And I agree. I don't think they're unintelligent people. That's for sure. But their power is not because they're smarter than anybody else. In fact, there's a good example of that in America. We have a test called the merit scholarship. Program where the
merit scholar.
And you have this, and it's available to everybody can take these tests. And the National Merit Scholarship Program was to recognize the best scholars in America, the smartest kids, and they're very comprehensive, strong tests, right? Mm-hmm. And so Gentiles, back when they were having this controversy, when they were totally taking over the universities, and of course they've taken over so much now, they got even the black presidents they hired fired, because some the students rose up and said, we're going to fight against this genocide. You know what anti-Semitism is today, right? It's opposing Jewish genocide of hundreds of thousands
innocent
people.
That's right.
That's what you call
exactly
anti-Semitism.
Right.
Yeah. And that's what you have to – you understand today anti-Semitism should be a badge of honor because in the sense that we're not –
if you don't oppose genocide in Gaza, you really don't have much worth as a human being. You don't
now,
get
in the
it.
In the last few days, we have some very naked examples of this incredible, vile, evil – that's going on in Israel, and that's now being embraced by the Jews. Again, this tape I was trying to tell, I don't get a chance to play it, is Norman Finkelstein says the country has gone totally nuts. They're evil. And he saw jury supremacists. In fact, he says in this tape, he said, you know, people talk about, you know, the Israeli lobby. You see, he says, it's not the Israeli lobby. It's the Jewish lobby. That's what Finkelstein said. Exactly. He said, because these people aren't necessarily Israelis. They're Jewish supremacists is what they are. But okay, so the National Merit Scholarships in this country available, there are institutions, Jewish ones, you know, non-Jewish ones, Christian ones, whatever. And any student could take the test and see what their qualities were as a student. And in that National Merit Scholarships, whites were about 80% of the population. And then we've dropped now to in the 60s and maybe in the 50s, who knows. But we're still the vast majority of the population. Back then, whites scored, you know, on these National Merit Scholarship programs higher than any other group. I'm talking about non-Jewish whites. Jews, who are talented and, they're educated, they were about 2% of the population, 2.5%, 3% at some points, but in the last just half a century, they've been about 2%. You know, there was never more than 3%, 2-3% Jews at the top of the National Merit Scholarships. But Jews were, you know, literally 25% of Harvard. Right now, I've got a copy of Hillel website in front of me talking about different institutions that are Jewish-friendly. The leading institution in America that's Jewish-friendly, or the leading institution in America, and if you get a diploma from there and you get a doctorate from Harvard, your ticket's punched. And even Finkelstein talks about how that if you're a Jew, you're advantage. In fact, he's talking to this other guy, giving him questions. Well, we got to oppose the rampant anti-Semitism. And he says, you do believe there's rampant anti-Semitism. And Finkelstein says, no, there's not any rampant anti-Semitism. No Jew is being kept from going to a law school. No Jew is being kept from, you know, in fact, they're disproportionately educated and promoted. No Jew is kept from getting a book published. He says, but a lot of people who protest Jewish supremacism and Jewish racism and Jewish supremacy and this Jewish effort to censor us and these Jewish crimes in Israel and these Jewish wars that are going on with these Jewish neocons, he said, those people, their lives are being destroyed. I mean, right now they're taking pictures or they're looking at anybody at these campuses. If they participated in an event to stop the genocide in Gaza, they're trying to block and destroy their whole life.
Oh, they have a huge database of anybody who's been involved in the protests about genocide.
They're openly doing this.
No
one
is,
make sure that they get fired.
If you protest genocide, no matter who's doing it, you're an anti-Semite. They'll twist everything around. Everything.
Well,
now, what's the word that we really need a name for the loss, the slaughter of Germans after World War II ended in 1945 through 1953, the numbers are anywhere from 7 to 15 million, depending upon who you listen to. Germans who were murdered.
I think it's more like between 11 and 15 million. Millions of Germans in Silesia. Yeah. I got friends whose
families. No one mourns them. They're gone. They were the last of the nationalist parts of Germany, and they were killed.
And the Jewish Bolsheviks, like a perfect example, is the head of the propaganda, Ilya Ehrenberg. These Jewish Bolsheviks were literally putting out stuff to the Bolshevik troops to rape German women and kill them and murder them.
This
is fact. He was never charged with any war crimes or genocide or anything. But they said that if the fighting stops against the enemy on the battlefield, well, don't waste your time. Kill a German. Go kill a German. Go ravage a German woman. There are tens of millions of not just German women, but people in the Baltic countries, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Romania, Poland. I mean, East Germany, what's East Germany today? What's parts of West Germany, what's Southern Europe, Romania, Hungary. I mean, we just keep going on, who were murdered by the Soviets. And again, 100 million people died under communism. It's in 1980, in fact, under the Clinton administration, there was a resolution in Congress, unanimous, talking about the 100 million victims of communism. So that was in the peacetime. That was even before the war. But it wasn't the Jews. And by the way, it's almost redundant, almost a waste of breath anymore for me to tell people that You know, Trotsky, his real name was Lev Bronstein, he was a Jew. Lenin was a Jew, spoke Yiddish in his family, said he was a Jew, identified himself, according to all of his family members, as a Jew. At the same time, he pretended to be a Russian, telling the Russian people in speeches how the Jews were the best. And we must thank the Jews because the Jews made us live such a wonderful life here in Soviet times as they murdered people in the gulags by the tens of millions. Every single operator of the Soviet death camps, according to Alexander Solzhenitsyn, a man that I had one of the greatest privileges of my life. You know, I don't view my, even though I've had a great struggle, you can't buy my books anymore on Amazon. You can buy Trotsky's books and Lenin's books and all the communist books you can
Isn't
buy.
Isn't that amazing?
You can buy books by Karl Marx. Karl Marx is a very good book out now called The Devil and Karl Marx, and how Karl Marx identified himself as a Satan worshiper. And his own family members called him my demon and stuff like that. And all of his friends would call him my demon. And he wrote a whole play called Mephistopheles.
My demon.
This is no joke. This is all documented. This is not some obscure historian. This is mainstream.
It's kept out of the news and kept out of the history books.
Out of the historical record. And so he was an open Satanist. And when you understand that, in fact, Peterson, who I don't like in so many ways, but he did have an interview with the guy that wrote that book, Kanger, and he said, you know, now you can understand the murderous aspect. How many people, how many tens and tens of, you know, millions of people were tortured and dispossessed and harmed and hurt by these Bolsheviks? When I was in Russia, I met with people in their 70s, 80s, and 90s, and that was the first time I went in the 90s.
They remembered, didn't they?
I know some that were actually in the gulags. They were trying to keep them as witnesses, you know, against the the anti-communists, and so they brought in their wife and kids, and they said, if you don't sign these confessions on these people, that we want you to sign and implicate these people, we're going to take and murder and rape your wife and children.
Not a joke. It's true.
It's horrendous, and you know what?
These people have no limits. All right, now when a member of the Knesset stands up and calls Israeli defense troops heroes of the highest order for raping Palestinian men in Israeli prisons, is there not something wrong with that? Just a little bit. Do you get it now? These people are beyond perverse. It's awful.
Now, you're liable to be called an anti-Semite for that, and yet we know for a fact, and Israeli
media... No, I'm just mentioning what happened and what was reported
exactly.
in the news.
Exactly. they actually went to the prisons. Now, here's the situation, and this is a lot more common than this incident. But
The abuse in prison... You know what they do, David? They put these men on a prison bed. It's just like a single bed. And they tie them to the bed, put a diaper on them, and let them sit there until they die.
And they also, they bind their hands and their legs so tight that they end up getting gangrene and they end up having to amputate their limbs.
That's right.
Could you imagine
this
the torture of living with a tight band around your hands, around your arms, around your legs, right? Could you imagine, you know, dogs being set upon your
genitals? Too many war crimes, too many crimes against humanity to even count.
Now, folks, we're not making this up. Listen, this is a good example. All right? This is an example of the perfidy and the evil that Israel represents. Now, again, this is something that you can't even make up in a horror movie. But, of course, Jews, that's why Jews write such good horror movies for Hollywood, are such more riveting. Because they know it. They led the horror of so many periods of history.
They know how to market depravity and violence like nobody else.
So what happened was these Jews were raping Palestinian young men, middle-aged men, old men, including, they were not only doing real sodomy, they were also doing things where they actually put
artificial implements. Yes.
Iron bars, flaming and electric iron bars up these people's, I'll put it this way, like a colon test, up their colon. I mean, excruciating, horrible, unbelievable tortures. You can't even imagine this. And a lot of them died. It was so bad, you know, because of the destruction of all these organs as well as this degradation that you just can't make up. You know, this is the kind of stuff they did in the Soviet Union. They learned their lessons well. And I keep trying to tell people this. What's going on with the Palestinians is going to go on with us. Mm-hmm. And it went on with millions of Christians before. And it went on, and it's all recorded, too, back basically, in terms of their mass murders and crimes in the New Testament. Jesus Christ, he never had any proposal. There was never any genocides in the New Testament. There was never or any orders to kill man, woman, and child or anything like that. It was to bring peace and love. It wasn't kill the children. Bring the children before me, you know. But Jews, it's just like Botich says in the Jerusalem Post, with the leading paper in Israel. And he talks about the fact that it's 450 passages in the New Testament that are anti-Semitic. Why is it anti-Semitic? Because it talks about Jewish mass murder and torture and imprisonment of Christians. There's words like Corinthians that said very well. It says, and the Jews killed the prophets and murdered our Savior. This is from the New Testament, folks, for those Christians that understand this. And it's in Corinthians. And it says, and they murdered us. They drove us out. Mm-hmm. You know, they hate mankind. They hate all mankind, mm-hmm. except for Jews, of course. And they keep us from teaching to the Gentiles so the Gentiles might be saved, you know. Well, of course not. They don't want to save Gentiles. They want to kill Gentiles. And the New Testament really makes it clear about that. Paul himself, who was of Jewish descent, but he found the grace of God, he actually goes in and he says, but I be accursed because of my race. That's how strong the New Testament. Mm-hmm. And the New Testament literally says that. In fact, Paul writes, and this is all in the scripture of the New Testament. He said the people, and this is all part of the prophecies, that the mm-hmm. people who were the people of God became the enemies of God, as they did become the enemies of God and his son Jesus. And the people who were considered the enemies, the Gentiles, became the people of God. And that's exactly what happened. That's why the New Testament is such a celebration of the Romans and the Greeks, and which are the European people. And they're the people that adopted so much of Christianity. Now, I'm not saying that you got to be Roman or Greek or white or whatever to be a Christian. What I'm saying is that it's really clear that Jewish supremacism is the greatest threat to Christianity and everything else. And when people today take this twisted version of Revelation and they say, okay, because God will eventually, if the Antichrist comes to power and kills billions of people, that Christ will eventually come and wipe them out. But if anybody who's a Christian who really believes in the teachings of mm-hmm. Jesus Christ and the teachings of the whole basis of the Christian faith and the whole New Testament is that God is your Heavenly Father who loves you and will protect you and will defend you. And if we find that these kind of revelations of the Antichrist will come and kill almost the entirety of the earth, rape every little child, and how I don't think Jesus will stand by or God will stand by and let this happen unless we let it happen. And the ironic thing is we have to oppose this with all of our might, all of our will, all of our faith, all of our courage. But we've got Christians literally saying, let's build the third temple. Jesus Christ himself ridiculed the third temple. He said, I could destroy the temple in a day. And if I wanted to, I could build it back in 3 days. And he said, no, the temple that you should worship today is not any temple. It's in the spirit of God. And Jesus said, my body is the temple. Isn't that interesting? And the illusion in the New Testament is that he rose after 3 days, the same way he said he could rebuild the temple, because he makes a very simple, clear statement. God makes a clear statement of the world through his son and the sacrifices of his son that salvation is available to everybody. And the golden rule, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, has got to apply to all people. And there is no chosen people anymore. The people who are chosen right. are the ones that treat other human beings fairly and kindly. But also, it's not saying that Greeks can't be Greeks. I mean, the New Testament talks about Greeks. It talks about Romans. It talks about women and how women may be different than men in some ways, right? It doesn't make them less. They all can find the salvation of Christ, and it talks about different peoples very clearly, that everybody can find the salvation. That doesn't mean that you have to let other people come in and kill you, take away your rights, that you shouldn't fight for your liberty. It doesn't mean anything like that, but it does mean that we need to ourselves treat people justly and fairly. And if someone came in to try to rape your kids or kill your kids or or destroy your freedoms. Jesus Christ put it in much harder words than I would dare to put it, because if I said these words and I plagiarized Christ and I said they were my words, I would go to jail in prison, and I'd go to prison for years in Germany. In Canada, there's been preachers going to jail. Here's the words from the New Testament, from John 8:44. Quote, here's Jesus talking to the Pharisees. And by the way, at the end, it says, and the Jews answered him, saying, so they're calling him an idolater and evil and all these things, charlatan. And he says, ye, the Pharisees, ye and ye, Father, are the sons of the devil. And the lusts of ye, Father, ye will do. They were murderers from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in them. When they speaketh a lie, they speaketh of their own essence, for they are the fathers of the lie. And if you really look at the problems we have in our society, the biggest problem we have is we got Google, we can call it, which is controlled by Jews. 95% of search engines in America now are controlled by these people. They send you to websites that they want you to read. They cover up websites they don't want you to read. They control Wikipedia. The guy that founded Wikipedia gets the prize in Israel, $1 million prize, and goes there. And the Jewish Telegraph Agency says that he's a loyal Zionist, and the Jewish military literally is organized to go in and make sure that the Wikipedia editing is. Wikipedia is the world's encyclopedia, more powerful than all the encyclopedias of the world and the whole history of the world combined.
It's lying to us nonstop. A running cesspool of defamation and character assassination. I've been there.
Ye and your father were the sons of the devil, and lust of your father. It was a liar from the beginning. The World War I was based on lies. That war could have been avoided. And we didn't get to this. We almost did get to this, but we talked about why was there a Versailles Treaty.
About 30 seconds left, David. Okay. Go ahead.
The Treaty of Versailles was so bad because at that time the Jews were orchestrating a communist revolution all over the world, as discussed by Churchill and others. And so they knew that Germany, if the Germany could be also united with the Soviet Union, between those two powers, the world would fall under their control completely as a unified force. So they wanted to get the Communist Party to succeed in Germany. And the way you do that is you rob those poor people who had no money at the end of the war, who suffered, were starving, their children were starving. And therefore, that would pave the way for the Bolshevik Revolution. And in fact, Karl Liebknecht, you know, was one of the leading people, you know, during the war. And the Rosenbergs actually did a revolution in 1917, 1918, in Bavaria, and killed a lot of people. Revolutionaries. In fact, Winston Churchill.
Didn't know about that one. Article. That's new. New. All right, listen, we have to wrap it up, David. Thank you for the overview. It's always helpful, and everything David reports is quite available to you if you just do a little looking. It's all there. He's not just making it up on the fly. It's hidden history, which is, they are the masters of hiding history and revising history. Because they own the media. They own the media. All right. Talk to you soon, David. Keep doing your best. There's no one that can touch you. You've got all the facts.
I'll be on 10 a.m. on the Rinse Radio Network, so I'll look forward to talking to everybody tomorrow morning. It's 10 a.m. Central, 11 Eastern.
Very good. Good night, David. Take care.
Good night, my friend. Bye.
And we will pause on that note and come right back. You really have to hand it to David. He has stood tall for half a century with his views. Be right back.